life of Elisha. And as we look at the life of Elisha, there's somebody who didn't get the last song that we just sang. Take the world, but give me Jesus. And that's Gehazi. So if you take your Bibles and open to 2 Kings chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to look at a guy that followed Elisha around, spent time with him and stuff, but I titled this morning's message, Greedy Gehazi. And that's who the guy was. So this morning, before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little story. And this story is not original with me. It's a legend from India, and it's in a book that I read as I was reading a couple of books about Elisha as I was preparing stuff. And this story, I thought, really fit with what I wanted to tell you guys today. So the story in this Indian legend started off with a mouse. Okay? And this mouse had this terrible, terrible, terrible problem. And that problem was a cat. That makes sense, right? And the mouse, as he ran around the house, was terrified and scared of the cat. And so one day, the cat found a wizard. Yep. And the mouse said to the wizard, he said, oh, I'm terrified. I'm scared of this cat that he's going to get me. Will you please turn me into a cat so I don't have to be scared anymore? And the wizard said, cows and that zoom, yeah, alright. And became a cat. And so now the cat is running around and the cat has a new problem. What do you think the cat's problem is? A dog, you guessed it. Right? And so the cat is running around and this cat that was a mouse says, oh no, this dog, wherever I go, torments me. Now, I know, I understand. I've talked to lots of cat and dog people that have both. The cat usually rules the house, right? But in this story, it's the dog that's terrifying and teasing and making life miserable for the cat. So the cat, the wizard, comes and the cat says, oh, please, would you make me a dog? I'm so terrified of this cat. And the dog is running around and making my life miserable and tormenting me. I'd love to be a dog. So Kalamazoo, whatever. And it's a dog. And so the dog runs around the house and things are great for a while. And he yips and yaps and everything is good until all of a sudden, going out at night, life becomes so terrible for the dog because he's scared and terrified of the tiger. And so he comes to the wizard and he says, if only I were a tiger, then I could rule the jungle and I wouldn't have to be scared of anyone anymore. And so Kalamazoo, wah, bang, boom, becomes a tiger. But then the tiger realizes he needs to be terrified of a man. And so for the final time, he goes to the wizard and he says, would you please, I'm a tiger, and the only thing I'm afraid of now is the hunter. If you make me a hunter, then I know that I won't have to be scared anymore. And finally, the wizard says to the tiger, you may be a tiger, and things may have changed and look different on the outside, but you still have the heart of a mouse. And nothing has changed. And in this book that I read, it said, you know, Gehazi, he wanted and wanted, and he craved and he desired, and he followed Elisha around. And he saw a man. He viewed and witnessed a man that had been in the presence of God and was not impressed with people because he knew God Almighty. And it made a big difference in Elisha's life. And we see a big difference between Elisha and his servant because Elisha says, God does it and he makes a difference. God provides and he takes care of. And God is amazing. And Gehazi says, but he wants the world. That's why I had to sing. Like, I didn't just picked that song out. I will tell you this, the Old Rugged Cross, I chose that song because I saw we hadn't sung it on a Sunday morning in 3 years. And that's why I chose that song. But when I chose Take the World But Give Me Jesus, I was thinking about this guy Gehazi. You know, he didn't get that message. And let's read this story of Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 to 27. It says, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him.' So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, 'Is all well?' And he said, 'All is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments.' So Naaman said, 'Please take two talents.' And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and handed them to his servants, and they carried them ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master. Elisha said to him, 'Where did you go, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant did not go anywhere.' And he said to him, 'Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever.' And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow." That's a tragic, tragic story tucked here in the middle of this great story of the life of Elisha. And let me tell you something. As we live this life, God's purpose and his plan for none of us was primarily to make money. Does that make sense to you? That's not God's number one plan for you. Now, God might, and God has, blessed some people with the ability to make money and to do amazing things with it. But our primary purpose as believers in Jesus Christ is to share the gospel and to make disciples. That's what Jesus Christ commanded us to do. And we need to be busy going about the work of God's kingdom, ambassadors here on this world. The song we just sang, "Take the World But Give Me Jesus," needs to really be the theme of our lives once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We are on our way to heaven. Heaven is our next step. And while we're here in this world, we need to be doing things that actually matter. But doesn't the story of Gehazi really bother you? It should set off some red flags, and it should make you stop and think. There's a problem in this world today. And that is that there are some Christians, some evangelists, some pastors who are in it for the money. And while they are preaching a good thing on Sunday, they're trying to fleece the flock on Monday. And we gotta stand up and make a difference in this world. Gehazi runs towards the sin of covetousness instead of running away from it. And I believe this with all my heart. When it comes to temptation and sin, we as believers, we need to stand up to sin. This morning I brought this baby bottle up here, and I talked about what's going on in our world, and that we need to make a difference in our world. We need to do things like speak out for what is right, take a stand to do what is proper, and to stand up to sin. That's important for us as Christians. But when we are tempted, we need to run the other way. And Gehazi's problem, the thing that really is, he coveted, he wanted that. And instead of running the opposite direction, which is when as soon as he faced temptation, he should have been running, he ran towards it. And that's a problem that us as Christians, we can get ourselves into. When we face temptation, we need to run away from it. But often we, you know, kind of like Gehazi, we inch a little closer to that temptation. And before you know it, we're going the wrong direction. Elisha's ministry said, God saves. Gehazi's model was God fleeces people for all he can get. I love Elisha. He goes, Elisha says, God has the ability to save you, Naaman, and it's not by works, it's not by money, it's not by who you are or who you know. It's God who can save you. God and God alone. God saves. And then Gehazi says, yeah, but could you give me some of that? You know, and he goes in and he uses deception to get what he wanted. And you know, I noticed something. As I'm reading the story of Elisha and Gehazi, Gehazi compromises. Gehazi gives in to sin. Gehazi wants and desires. And he loses everything. Elisha trusts. He follows God's plan. And God provides above all that he could ever want. They are so different. And who would you rather be this morning? I ask you that question. Here, just listen to this story. There's a court appearance for a former pastor accused of stealing thousands of dollars intended for a 2014 mudslide. Was in court on Monday so he could raise more money for his attorney. This pastor, 56 years old, was charged with 3 counts of first-degree theft. Investigators discovered the crime while investigating an unrelated allegation against this pastor. The case started when $6,000 disappeared from his church. In the course of the investigations, detectives discovered that he had taken $40,000 in donations from the survivors of the mudslides. He was in it for the money. Can't you read Gehazi's mind in this situation? As Elisha was saying, no, you can't buy your salvation from this disease. You can't buy God off. He's just going, but just give us just a little bit. But no. He said, Elisha, you fool. There's right there. You could take it and nobody would be mad at you. But that's not what God had instructed Elisha to do, was it? Elisha had a very important purpose that would lead to us today. If you have a problem, in Naaman's case, it was leprosy, and you want to be made clean, you cannot buy God's favor. If you have a problem today in your heart, maybe it be lust, pornography, drugs, alcohol, infidelity. Maybe you're a thief, a liar. Maybe you hate. You cannot forgive. God wants to save you from that sin that is destroying your heart. You can't purchase God's salvation. It's only by faith and trust in him. And the message that Elisha wanted to say is that you cannot buy the healing hand of God. But Gehazi said, but that. And Gehazi knew he had to move quickly. It's interesting. I would love to be Gehazi in his place, seeing what he saw, working alongside of Elisha. I have enjoyed all the time in my life where I've gotten to spend time with great Christian men. I have enjoyed the fact that they have poured into my life, and I hope to turn around and do that with other people, pour into their lives. That's the process. You evangelize and you make disciples. You pour into other people like they poured into you. And Gehazi had sat at the feet of Elisha. He had seen the word of God and what God's power can do. But his heart wasn't changed. Remember the story of the tiger that I told this morning. This guy had sat and he had seen what God can do and what God can do and what God can do. And in spite of all the miracles he'd seen, in spite of all the situations he'd been through, his heart was not changed. Maybe you're sitting here in the pew this morning, and you've heard preaching. You've had the Word of God open to you. You've looked into it. You've poured into it. You've had Christian brothers and sisters praying for you. You've walked alongside of them, but your heart still isn't changed. Maybe you're sitting here, and you're Gehazi, and you're saying, I need God to make a difference in my life. Just look at some of the things that Gehazi, we've looked at and we've seen some of these things. In chapter 4, Gehazi had watched how Elisha had raised the dead when his lack of faith could not. That didn't change his heart. In chapter 4, verse 43, we believe it was Gehazi that had witnessed a God who provides when faith was lacking. God provided food in the presence of Gehazi. And God provided, God healed, God had raised the dead, and still this guy's heart was not changed. Think of that story, you know, there's a change from the mouse to the cat, and the cat to the dog, and the dog to the dog. He'd gone through all that, but still his heart wasn't changed. And today, if you've been sitting in this church for a little while, or maybe you haven't, I'd encourage you to go around and talk to people. And as you watch, you'll hear that we have a God that works and is in the business of changing people's lives, and he's alive and he's at work in the hearts of people today. And he can work in your heart. And if today you're saying, well, God's not working in my heart, I'm still the same, well, let him. And say, God, change my heart. Let me see. I see that there's people that you're making a difference in. Will you do that in my heart? Maybe you cannot beat a sin. And you find yourself running towards it rather than away from it. Let God work in your heart today. Gehazi's heart has stayed the same. He's been in the presence of a man of God, and his soul is not changing. I can't speak for Gehazi's eternal state today. But I see a pattern through the scriptures of this guy. He was there. He followed Elisha around. He'd been with him, but his heart was not changed. He has forgotten who Elisha's real employer was. He was promoting everything that Elisha had to do and everything that was going on, but he had forgotten the God that was making a difference in this whole thing. It's interesting. We need to let God take care of our lives and rewarding us. God is our rewarder, and he is ultimately our reward. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. As you think biblically, I want people to think about the Bible in a big picture sort of way first. And then to think about it in the context of where things are. I think too often when people in the world think about the Bible, they might grab a verse here or a verse there or whatever, but I think we need to see it from the top looking down and then understand the context and where things come from. But as we get to Hebrews chapter 11, we understand, and those of you who know and love the Word of God, you have this hall of faith. I can remember going to Cooperstown with my dad, a Hall of Fame, baseball hall. I thought that was the neatest thing. When we get to heaven, you know, God's provided right here a hall of faith. And I think that, I believe in my heart that the Word of God is going to last forever. That's what the Bible says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's words aren't going to, right? This book is lasting forever. And we have a testament of the faith that people had on this world. And I don't know how it's going to play out, but maybe in heaven, to glorify God, there will be a hall of faith. And we'll be able to see the stories of Hebrews chapter 11 brought to life. But tucked away, nestled in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Gehazi did not get that verse. He did not get that faith in God made a difference. Because every single time, those three stories we read about Gehazi, God did something amazing because Elisha had faith. And Gehazi was right there and he could see God at work, but he never understood the faith. He never understood that God was his reward and that he would be the one that rewarded him. His faith was shallow. And he never diligently sought the Lord. He diligently sought what Naaman could give him. Another thing for us to consider today is you can't serve God in money. Right? We know those words from Jesus Christ, but let's just open our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. The words of Jesus so often touch our hearts and really make us think. It's almost like he really absolutely knew what he was saying. I know he did know what he was saying. And, excuse me, I said Mark, but it says up there Matthew, doesn't it? I'm going Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Right? And as I think about the story of Naaman, remember that Naaman was dumped down into the river seven times. And after he came up, he was clean, and his life was healed, and his life was changed. And he said, "I'm going to forsake all other gods, and I'm only going to follow the God of Israel." And then immediately we have the exact opposite as Gehazi comes along and says, "I kind of want God, and I want what Elisha's got, but I want that money that." And Gehazi really is an example of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. He wanted kind of a relationship with God. That's why he'd been following Elisha around. And he wanted the money that came along with it. And he never understood. He never got the faith part. He never got the loyalty part. He was acting. He was following around. But he never really, truly surrendered to God. There's a few biblical examples that I can think of where we have similar types of stories. One of them comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 13 and chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 13, we have the story, and 19, we have the story of Lot,
with Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot moved his tent. He camped it towards Sodom. And he, he started inching towards it. And then by the time that Sodom is being destroyed, we know that Lot's wife is turning around and longing for Sodom. We have a great example of someone who said, I kind of want God, but I want money too. And when push came to shove, the world won. We sang a song this morning. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Is that true in your life today? Is that what you want, what you desire above all else, is a relationship with Jesus Christ? Forget the world and the pleasures that come with it. You're willing to forsake all those things because you want Jesus. I think about Saul, another guy that we could add here. Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15. You read the story of Saul and the beginning of his career as king. That guy that stood head and shoulders above everybody else, who spoke so eloquently as he became king, and a man who God could have done great things with. But he compromised. He didn't do things God's way. And we think about the story of the Amalekites. God said, go into the Amalekites and wipe them all out. But when he comes back, Samuel says, Saul, I can hear those sheep. I can hear that you didn't completely wipe out, destroy the Amalekites. And what's Saul's excuse? Oh, but the people, right? Isn't that an excuse that we hear sometimes today? But they wanted it. But God was saying, no. Samuel, when he came to Saul, he said, you are responsible here. And to obey is better than sacrifice. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. We need to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of Gehazi, of Lot, of Saul, where the world and the things that are in it become more desirable than a relationship with God. Another example that we have is Samson. Just think about everything that God gave to Samson and all the power and the Holy Spirit and the ability to fight off enemies. I mean, seems like every young boy that grows up in Sunday school at some point says, I want to be Samson. They'd like to be the Hulk and stuff. I've heard so many. Who's your favorite person in the Bible? Samson. Like, Samson? Oh, okay. I understand at the end of Samson's life, you might want to be like Samson and have victory over, but please, don't fall into the traps of Samson where he did, every time a pretty girl walked by, he said, oh, I'll need God for that, right? And just was drawn away so quickly. Samson ran towards temptation instead of running away from it. Another example is Demas. When we were studying Ephesians, we looked at Demas. And maybe we, from Sunday school, remember the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. From when we were young, we remember the story of Saul. And we remember the story of Samson. But I ask you guys, how many of you guys knew those first three? But when I put up the word Demas, you're like, I don't know who that is. I knew the first three, but I didn't know who Demas. That's okay. That's why I'm going to say, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 4. 2 Timothy. I got to read my own stuff, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, it says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Demas was a partner of Paul's, a man who had lots of promise in helping spread and do great things for a young church. But one of the saddest verses in the Bible is Paul as he's talking to Timothy towards the end of his life. It says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. This is right after Paul had said to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Christians, unbelievers, anyone sitting here in this pew. Today, you have a choice of how this story will end for you. Most of you have sat in these pews more than once, more than twice. Many of you for years. Many of you have been to church for many, many years longer than I have. You've sat and you've listened to good preaching. You've seen the work, the hand of God in people's lives. And God is so at work. I love the way God answers prayers. Sometimes we pray and immediately God answers directly from heaven. And if you don't believe that, just get involved in the church and start praying. You'll see God in the way he answers prayers. God does amazing things. He changes lives. He changes hearts. But I ask you, you've seen testimony of what God can do. How's your story going to end? You could be Demas. He has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed. Or you can be like Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I started it off this morning. We started off with that song. Take the world in, but give me Jesus. And I'll end with it too. Take the world and give me Jesus. Don't be like Gehazi. I don't go running back for just a little bit of what the world has to offer. All right? Let's open in our hymnals. Number 661. Let's pray this morning. And I'd just like you to kind of take the time and consider your heart. How would you like to end? You like to be a Gehazi? Or would you like to be like Elisha? Like Paul? Where faith has made an eternal difference in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us to finish strong. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us not to follow, chase after the world, but to stay strong to you, to look to those around us who have lived a life of faith and found you to be faithful. Help us to surrender our hearts. Lord God, we need you so much. Do great things in us. Change our hearts, change our lives. Lord, help us just to surrender and to long for Jesus Christ. Bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen.